Sports Radio 90 Time, the game from the Kia Studios today. John Fricke with you, 404-726-0929. If you want to be part of the program. So I got a couple of questions for you. It's a super short show today. We're only going for another hour, but the decks are clear. If you want to jump in, I'd love to have you. First question is about the Braves and what you've seen here. The Braves 0-3 so far. So is your answer to me 0-3 is because I've got a lot of you fans out there who are saying to me 0-3, no big deal. It's 3 of 159, and I'm like, okay, yeah, that's true. And they did start, and some people pointed it out, 0-4 in 2021, and they won the World Series. So, you know, how you start the season isn't necessarily indicative of how you're going to finish the year. But I'm not going to lie, too. I've got a little concern here about a couple of things, because one is a holdover from last year, and the other was a concern at the beginning of the season that I had, that I voiced to Alex Anthopoulos, and he more or less said that, you know, they're going to try and work through it, and that's the bullpen. But the runners in scoring position and not knocking guys in has been a problem for this team. And it was a problem last year. And yet, for all the problems of last year with not knocking guys in and whatnot, and all the injuries, they still won 89 games. They still made the playoffs. So, again, 0-3, I guess, you know, no big deal. But now you're faced with, you know, can you win today? And then you got to go to Chavez Ravine. Suddenly, Grant McCauley was talking about 2-5 coming home. And I'm like, I'll take 2-5 right now. I'll take 2-5. That was not what I was hoping out of this start of the season, but I'll take it because I'm faced with a prospect of 1-6. Hell, are we faced with a prospect of 0-7? You know, it's not going to happen. Okay, well, I didn't think 0-3 was going to happen to the Padres either, so I'm not really sure where we're going with this right now because the starting pitching has been solid. And the news on the starting pitching got even better because Spencer Strider looked really good at Gwinnett in his first outing. So, I mean, the starting pitching has been fine. But the rest of it, I don't know. So 404-726-0929. You could also, by the way, should the Braves go to these Yankee bats? Have you seen this? Did you see this story about the Yankees bats? The Yankees yesterday hit 9 home runs. 9 against the Brewers. They hit home runs on the first 3 pitches of the first inning. Home run, home run, home run. 3 pitches, 3 home runs. I've never seen that before. Forget first three batters homer on a total of 3 pitches. Wow. So anyway, then they've got this bat that apparently, you know, it's legal, and I was talking to Grant about it, that, you know, back in the late 60s, there was a player for the Detroit Tigers named Willie Horton, and I had a Willie Horton model bat because my uncle was a huge Tigers fan. He lived in a town called Novi, which is a suburb of Detroit, Novi being N-O-V-I, number 6. It's a train stop. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. And so he sent me a bat for my birthday or Christmas, a Willie Horton bat, that he bought at, you know, the Kmart or something. And it had a really thin handle and a big barrel at the end. Now, these aren't really kind of that way, as Grant was explaining. They're more like bowling pins, but they're fatter in the sweet spot up near the label. And some of the Dodgers are using them. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens with this bat, whether other teams start, because apparently it's legal. Kevin Smith was out there going, hey, have you seen these bats that the Yankees, you know? And I'm like, hey, listen, I'm getting a whole bunch of those and letting the Braves hit with those things, you know, and barrel the ball. And it's not just about 9 home runs in a game. It's about just, you know, can this bat help you get in that extra little exit velo that turns a line out into something that just kind of skips once over somebody's head or something? I mean, sure. It's just interesting to note that the Yankees were the ones that kind of figured this one out here, and how does it change the game? You know, it'll be interesting to see kind of the impact of this new bat and how many teams suddenly go to it, because I think a lot might. You could bet everybody in baseball is going to experiment with it. Now, everybody in the Yankees doesn't use it. Good Lord, if Aaron Judge does. I mean, but it'll be really interesting to see the impact on the game that these bats, which are apparently illegal, are going to have. And then there's the issue with the Falcons here that I do want to get into with you because there's some updates on this. Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, I'll read that to you in just a moment. There are two headlines on Pro Football Talk we could talk about. One is from Brian Callahan, the head coach of the Titans. And the headline says, Titans have a short list of prospects for the number one pick. Now, this impacts the discussion about Kirk Cousins because, Brian, if you breathe, of course, not a big fan of the Callahan family, being a Nebraska fan, but Brian Callahan, anyway, says that he has a short list of four prospects for the number one pick for the Tennessee Titans. Now, you have to believe that. I don't. I personally do not believe that at all, okay? I believe that it might be two, but it's not four, okay? As much as he would love to have Travis Hunter, and as much as any team would love to have Travis Hunter, and as much as Travis Hunter is going to be an impact player in the NFL, and I would love to have Travis Hunter, I understand this. He is a, you know, a unicorn. You can't use him at the number one pick. As much as you'd love to have him, he just can't. I mean, you could, but boy, it's really, I mean, it just seems like a bit of a stretch at the number one pick because you need so many other things that are more important to you than having even a guy that good. I don't believe Shedeur Sanders, who's also on that list, is anywhere really in the realm of the Titans, though they could surprise me. They could say, yeah, Shedeur, and I'm not saying Shadur's not going to be a good or effective quarterback in the NFL. I don't know. Look, everybody missed on Lamar Jackson. I always love how Falcons fans say, you could have had T.J. Watt, or you could have, and they never mention, you could have had Lamar Jackson. Well, so could have everybody else in the NFL. They could have had Lamar Jackson, went 32nd to the last pick of the first round. Everybody missed on Lamar Jackson, but you only want to pick and choose who you get mad about. Okay, all right, fine. But I don't think Shedeur Sanders or Travis Hunter, the two Colorado guys, are really in the Titans' worldview. I think it's Cam Ward on a 98% level, and the other 2% is Abdul Carter. And they love the idea of Abdul Carter, but I think they look at Abdul Carter as luxury. And they went down to Pro Day in Miami, and they look at Cam Ward. Look, they've been burned. The Malik Willis and, you know, of course, Will Levis, you know, they've been burned, but they desperately, desperately need – they got to take another shot at the quarterback well. They just have to. There's a quarterback game. You can't have the number one pick. There are two mistakes you can make in the draft. Number one is taking the wrong guy, and the bigger mistake is passing on the right guy. If they take Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, and they're both stars, and they're both could be great players, and Cam Ward turns into a superstar quarterback, they'll never forgive themselves. So I'm not really buying the Brian Callahan and this fake right-go-left thing. I think they're taking Cam Ward. But it does impact the Kirk Cousins discussion because what Cousins doesn't want is to go to Cleveland or to a Chipotle or a barbecue or whatever and take photos and then post and have his agent go, hey, who knew? And then Kirk reply with, I like chicken on my sandwich. You know, none of that. They don't want all that. And then to have the other team, Cleveland or anybody, take a quarterback. Because should Tennessee go, well, we want Abdul Carter, that's where you're going to have to, Kirk Cousins' agent's going to have to tell, hey, what are you guys doing? This is why he wants to, Cousins wants to wait post-draft. Because what if Tennessee does take Abdul Carter? Well, but the only way they could take Abdul Carter is to trade for Kirk Cousins pre-draft. So if they really want to take Abdul Carter, Tennessee's got to be on the phone with Atlanta talking about Kirk Cousins. If they make a trade for Kirk Cousins, then that frees Brian Callahan. If he's in love with Abdul Carter, then he could trade for Kirk Cousins, then he could draft Abdul Carter. And then take his chances that Cam Ward won't turn into a superstar. Our old buddy Mel is on with us again. Mel, what's up this morning? Well, I guess it's this afternoon. Oh, Mel left us? Mel, you couldn't hold on for 2 minutes while I was finishing? Okay. Hey, John. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. How are you this morning?
Good.
I am so glad when you take my phone calls on Sunday morning. I really appreciate it. John, I want to tell you about my opinion regarding the Braves. The Braves are not in the baseball business. They're in the business of selling popcorn and jerseys and hot dogs. This team in 5 years will be 70-92 because of the company that owns them. They don't spend the money. It's terrible the way they run the ball team. They're not concerned with baseball. You go to a game, and what do you see? You see cool-looking people on their cell phones, and that will always be the case. People will always go to the ball game. But this team is on – they're on the downside, son. And, I mean, it's going to happen quicker than people realize. I wish somebody would buy this ball club, but this team, this ownership, will never sell the Braves because they're making way too much money at Truist. That's just my opinion. You probably don't remember this, and I won't go on and on and on because you're probably not old enough. Atlanta's a great baseball team town. At one time, they were the greatest minor league franchise in the history of baseball. They were the Southern Association. They were Atlanta Crackers. They had a player named Bob Montag. They drew 12,500 people every night. People in Atlanta love baseball. But this is a bad organization, and I'm just tired of it. And I think the Braves will come home 0-7. I mean, that's just the way I feel. I appreciate you taking time to take my phone call. And I know it's kind of negative, but you know what?
Kind of?
You're a cool dude. You let people talk. Kinda? You let people express themselves.
Well, you express yourself, John. Thanks. Appreciate it. I appreciate it. Kind of negative. Kind of? Yeah. Braves do have a top 10 payroll in Major League Baseball, okay? The organization has made the playoffs how many years in a row? They've got a World Series. They've won the NL East how many times? Even including with this ownership group? Organization's fine. By the way, the future of the Braves is really good. I don't know, maybe you missed the fact that they've got long-term contracts with Ozzie Albies and Michael Harris and Spencer Strider and Austin Riley and Ronald Acuna Jr. and Matt Olson, Sean Murphy. Those are long-term deals. I think they're going to be fine for a number of years. So, and I don't know, 5 years from now, I mean, who the hell knows? But for the next 5 years, I think they're going to be fine. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about whether or not Liberty Media is going to sell the Braves. The Braves are also publicly traded now. You can buy stock in them. All right, so I guess he falls on, not going to lie, he's got a lot of concern, I guess. I'm a little concerned about the Braves. I want to see them win a game. That would make me feel better. I ain't that down in the mouth, that's for sure. All right, so what Mike Florio said after he came out saying, the Falcons have no cards to play. The Falcons are totally, Kirk Cousins runs this, or more or less, and how he's kind of sort of backtracked. Let me tell you what he said yesterday about that on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I had a couple of different Rufus songs, and anytime you put Shaka 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 Khan on the radio, for me, it works. I don't know, Shaka's voice always just cut through. See, I'm old enough that this is a song I was driving first when I was first driving, that we would cruise and this song would come on and we would crank this puppy up, sort of like we did Parliament Funkadelic. That was back in high school days. I'm driving down Memorial Drive, So anyway, I know that has nothing to do. But the last caller calls up and says, "You're not old enough to remember," and I'm like, "Okay, this dude's really old because I'm so old." In person. I saw Gordie Howe with the Red Wings. I saw Roberto Clemente in right field for the Pirates. I saw Gale Sayers at running back for the Bears. Oscar Robertson at guard for the Cincinnati Royals. Okay? That was like four franchises ago. Not just Oscar was a great player. Underrated great player when we did, who's the GOAT? Man, Oscar Robertson could play, dude. Oh, man, could Oscar play. 404-726-0929 here. So I mentioned, and you can jump in on the Braves here if you want, 0-3, no big deal, or not going to lie, you got a little bit of concern. I mean, you don't have to go as negative as John did, but if you've got some concern or if it's no big deal, I'd love to hear from you. I mentioned about Brian Callahan trying to throw out this, we've got four guys that we're looking at, bull hockey. They got two they're looking at, okay? Cam Ward and Abdul Carter. They're not looking at either, guys. I mean, could they take Shooter Sanders? Yeah. Could they take Travis Hunter? Yeah. Would I be shocked? Yeah. Could it work out for him? Sure. But you can only make two mistakes, and the second mistake is worse than the first. And the first mistake, of course, is to take the wrong guy, not, you know, to use any initials like Andre Bruce, but you can't take the wrong, Ryan Leaf, you can't take the wrong guy, but you can't pass on the right guy, okay? And when you have the number one pick, and Cam Ward is there, if you don't take him, and 6 years from now, we're sitting around and we're saying, oh, my God, Cam Ward is the best quarterback in the – now, I don't know. He could turn into Trey Lance. He could turn into Josh Allen. Remember when Josh Allen – I saw Josh Allen. I'm old enough to have seen Josh Allen play in college in person at Wyoming. Okay? That wasn't that long ago, obviously. And when Josh Overthrow was at Wyoming, I was like, this guy sucks. He was no good. I mean, he had no touch on the ball. He was like Brett Favre. Favre was the same way in college. No touch. Just throw, fire it downfield, and I hope my guy catches it. I saw him throw five picks in a game in college at Wyoming. And I went, all right, this guy's no good. And then Bubba was like, hey, this guy's going to be great. I'm like, oh, okay. Good luck with that. Well, so you can never tell, right? But if they pass on Cam Ward, and Cam Ward does turn into the best quarterback in the NFL, if they pass on Cam Ward, then, man, that's a move. It's too high a risk, especially when you go to Pro Day at Miami and you're oohing and aahing. Brian Callahan has one choice, Cam Ward. That's it. He may love Abdul Carter. He may be really intrigued by Shedeur Sanders. He may know that Travis Hunter is going to turn into a multi-use, you know, weapon that's going to be an all-pro caliber guy for some team for a number of years, but he can't pass up on the quarterback, especially after the last two misses. I know that they're worried about a third miss. That would be the Shedeur Sanders pick. You know, you took, you know, Malik Willis and Will Levis, you know, I mean, that would be the Shedeur Sanders pick, because I don't have any idea. Shedeur could turn into Lamar Jackson. He could turn into Kyler Murray. He could turn into, you know, Trey Lance. I don't know which direction he's going. I really don't. I mean, there are things about Shedeur's game I like, and things that I just I can't tell. Cam Ward's got all those intangibles and everything else, okay? So I'm not buying any of this. So, but if he is, if that's the case, if they really are, by the way, I think Abdul Carter at Penn State has a chance to be Myles Garrett. I mean, he has a chance to be a star and in the NFL. So Tennessee may be so intrigued by the idea of this guy being a game wrecker that they need a quarterback. That's where Kirk Cousins kind of comes into the mix. But that has to be done before the draft, because Tennessee cannot take a chance by taking Abdul Carter and then having Kirk Cousins either remain on the Falcons, or what they're not getting in the national media is, and I'm going to read Mike Florio to you in a second, what they're not getting in the national media about Kirk Cousins is, when Kirk's going out to the Chipotle to get salad with chicken on it or whatever the hell he said, or to the barbecue in Avon in Cleveland, what they're not understanding is the Falcons are serious. I'm trying to implore them to understand the Falcons are serious, and I'll prove to you that Florio came about halfway towards understanding this. But also, they don't understand that if Cousins doesn't waive his no-trade prior to the draft, and teams come calling after the draft, the price for Kirk Cousins is going to go way up. Okay? Way up. Because the Falcons are going to play a hardball game. Oh, now you need this guy? Yeah, we don't want a third-round pick for you to take his salary. We want you to take the whole salary. Oh, and we might want a second with a conditional first. I mean, that price is going to go up. And I don't blame the Falcons. And they say, ah, we're not going to do that. Okay, fine. Oh, hell, we don't got nothing, do we? We got Kenny Pickett at quarterback. Oh, God, I can't give you a second with a conditional first. We got Kenny Pickett at quarterback. Oh, okay. You know, and the Falcons go, hell, okay. Well, we'll just let him rot on the bench. Because that's where they're at. Because Kirk Cousins lied to them. And I tried to explain this to you yesterday. Mr. Blank goes a long way to a lot of things, but not lying. And he won't forgive Kirk. He'll accept his apology, but he won't necessarily. I accept the apology, but I'm not going to forgive you for lying to me. Which is why they released the statement of, we're going to do what's in the best interest of the ball club, which is to say that these national media people don't understand Mr. Blank. They don't understand what he's saying. Okay, and what he's saying is, I'm not going to forget this. So Florio writes today, wait, let's back up here. What did Florio say? Put your headphones on for me, Noel, because you know this better than I do, and I don't want to, you know, misquote him. But you were watching Florio, what, 2 days ago, 3 days ago? And he said...
It was a PPF article, I believe, and he was stating that...
PFT.
PFT, yes. And he was stating that... basically, he felt like Cousins had leverage to play hardball. He felt like Cousins should be playing more hardball with the Falcons and not being such a nice guy about this situation.
Okay. Yeah, he has no leverage. I read that from somebody else, too. I'm like, guys, no, he doesn't have any leverage.
I heard it on Infinity's network, too. It's so weird. I'm like, where are y'all getting this from?
He has no leverage. So now Florio writes of, as of this morning, and I'll just read you the first three paragraphs, and I'll comment as we go. He says, Florio says, the Falcons have tried to create the impression that they're committed to keeping quarterback Kirk Cousins as the understudy to Michael Penix Jr. Some think they're bluffing. Again, Falcons have tried to create the impression they're committed to keeping quarterback Kirk Cousins as the understudy to Michael Penix. Some think they're bluffing. The Falcons are trying to create the impression. See, now what they're trying to say is, and some think they're bluffing, what Florio's trying to say is, the Falcons are going to buckle, they're going to trade Kirk Cousins, and all of this is a ruse by trying to create the impression that they're going to keep Kirk Cousins as the backup, but they're really just bluffing. And he deflects by saying something, and not he thinks, some think. But that's, that again, that totally misreads the situation. They're not trying to create the impression that they're committed to keeping Kirk Cousins as the backup. They will keep Kirk Cousins as the backup 100%. 1,000% they'll keep him as the backup. And some think they're bluffing. If you think they're bluffing, they're not. I'm just telling you they're not bluffing. But if they make a trade for Kirk Cousins, they go, see, they were just bluffing the whole time. No, because, again, there's an asking price for Kirk Cousins. And now nobody can meet the asking price because Kirk Cousins hasn't waived his no trade. So there's no asking price publicly, but we all know what it is, right? It's got to be a third-round pick, and you're picking up the salary. I mean, they're not doing anything less than that at this point. This is why they paid him the $10 million. But if we get post-draft, Kirk and his agent, Mike McCartney, need to understand, we go post-draft, the Falcons are going to say, the price for you just went up. And so anybody that wants you now is going to have to pay a higher price. We went from a third to a second with a conditional first. That's what this is John Fricke talking, okay? This is what I would do, and I don't think I'm far off. Look, let me put it to you how I've said this multiple times here about this, about what the price is now and what the price is going up. I look at my phone. Oh, no, David Bassidy and the Falcons haven't called to correct me. Why? Because they're probably sitting in Flowery Branch going, yeah, that's pretty much on there, and I think so. He's got that figured out. Yeah, because it doesn't take a brainiac to figure it out, but apparently Mike Florio, who's an expert in the NFL, can't figure this out.
Yeah, that's why we're like, this has to happen before the, well, it doesn't have to, but it probably needs to happen before the draft, or to your point, the price goes up. Like, yesterday's price, pre-draft, is not today's price.
Right.
Post-draft.
Right, because if you can't help this team right now get a third-round pick, and the Falcons want to make the trade now. Well, John, why wouldn't they hold on to him if it's going to go up post-draft? Because Terry Fontenot's job is on the line, and they don't have a third-round pick. Third-round pick was traded away for Matthew Judon. How'd that work out for us? Anyway, and they have 15 and they have 46. Okay, those are their first two picks. And right now, to create a third round, they would have to trade down out of 15 to in the 20s. Which they, by the way, they still could do and get a third round pick for it. And then trade for Cousins and get a third round. And then suddenly they'd have like 22, 46, and a couple of third rounders. And the draft's only 25 days away. And then that gives you so much flexibility, because if you did that, then that 46 in the second round could become 32 by pairing a high third with it. You know, I mean, you could go way up in the second round. And then if you want to go defense, that's fine. Because in that 15, unless you're in love with somebody that's at 15, 15 to 22, probably the same group of guys, it's still James Pierce Jr., it's still Malachi Starks, it's still Michael Williams, it's still James Pierce Jr. And if you're throwing them all into a hat, like they did with Braylon Trice last year. You have to understand, with Braylon Trice, they threw him into a hat. They said, Braylon Trice, Dallas Turner, you know, and Jared Verse, they're in a hat. Now, that hat went the level for that hat went way up because of what Jared Verse did. So Braylon Trice has a higher thing to hit here, but that was the hat that they put him in. And they also got him in the third round. So the price goes up. Now, Florio goes on today. He says, the Cousins contract has a provision, and all of us need to know this, the Cousins contract has a provision allowing the Falcons to automatically restructure his deal whenever they want. So the Falcons can restructure the Cousins contract at 2 o'clock this afternoon if they want to. But they haven't done that, correct? And the restructuring would save them $21 million under the cap this year. Now, currently, the Falcons have about $12 million under the cap, and I am convinced the Falcons are going to go back into free agency, but they're going to go back into free agency post-draft, okay? because they want to see what they are able to get in the draft to address needs. Then they can use that money wisely in the post-draft free agent period and go get something else to help them out, because they weren't able to, like, create a third-round pick or something like that, or they still have what they perceive as a hole at linebacker for Ulbrich or a hole at wide receiver because they weren't able to address that, and they have $12 million to go pay a wide receiver. You know, I mean, you could sign Amari Cooper or whatever. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's not necessarily the individual player. I'm just saying you have money to move, right? Okay? I'm not going to sit here and debate about who that player is. It's about positional need, and the Falcons still have positional needs, some of which they'll address in the draft. That positional need may be edge. It may be interior defensive line. That positional need post-draft might be corner. It might be nickel. It might be wide receiver. So they're going to be positional needs for the team that they can have $12 million. They can have $33 million if they wanted to restructure the deal, but they haven't done it. Why not? Because they don't want to spread that out. Because if you trade him, suddenly you get a big cap hit because you're going to have to pay him. You already paid him $10 million. Now when you restructure this deal, you're going to take that $27.5 million and basically pay it all to him in a bonus. And that becomes a big cap hit. And they don't want to. So that's what's leading the media to say, look, they don't want to take this cap hit with Kirk Cousins, so they're not restructuring the deal because they don't want to take the cap hit and trade. That's only in the restructure of the deal. That's all, guys. They're not restructuring the deal because they don't want to take a cap hit in case they trade him. But that doesn't mean automatically that they're trading him, okay? That's not what this means. It just means they don't want to have to. They're willing to eat the money for this year if need be and then just move on at the end of the year, okay? And that you don't understand that, it still amazes me. You're smart guys. Smart gals, you think you figure it out.
That's the part that's hard for people to grasp, John, is that they're willing to eat the money.
They are willing to eat the money. They are willing to eat the money.
Right, and I think that's the part that's hard for people to wrap their heads around.
Well, how tough is it? I am not yelling at you, sorry.
No, I know.
How tough is it to understand Arthur Blank and take him at his word when they release a private conversation where Mr. Blank says, quote, unquote, we will do what's in the best interest of the team? That tells you everything you need to know.
I 100% agree with you. I just don't think everybody has caught up with what best interest of the for the Atlanta Falcons mean.
Okay. We're trying to explain it to them. Yeah, they don't want to hear it.
Tooth and nail, John. We've been trying to beat it home, haven't we?
Jeez, man. Not that hard, people. I'd love to get Florio. I should get Florio on and say, Mike, do you not understand this? Because they also don't. I think they don't realize, whatever your opinion is of Mr. Blank, he a hell of a tough businessman. You don't want to sit in that office. No, you do not. All right, quick break as we can take you to 1 o'clock on Sports Radio 910 The Game. You know what? If you've been to a lot of concerts, some groups play really, really, really loud, louder than they need to. Styx plays way louder than they need to. They're like Spinal Tap, turn it up to 11. Rush is the same way. Rush, Geddy Lee likes to, it was like, okay, you're going to break my eardrums. Like, can we back this down a little bit? They just like loud. Oh, man, I want it loud. It's like, oh, Rush. Turn it down some, dude. And we want to be able to, like, enjoy the music and not just get ear bleed.
They want us to hear them from Canada.
Right. Right, exactly. We are taking you to our coverage of the NCAA Sweet 16 in a manner of fashion on the family of radio stations today. At the top of the hour, we will break away and take you to the Elite Eight and Game 1 in Indianapolis between Tennessee and Houston. The Vols against the Houston Cougars live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Game 2, of course, right down the road from us at State Farm Arena, 505 tip, Michigan State and Auburn. And that game will be on our sister station, 1380 News and Talk WAOK, because we have the Hawks and Bucks tonight beginning at 6:30, and see if the Hawks can break out of their up and down funk and this funk and then, and now they're in the funk again, and they're trying to hang on here, and they're in a battle. They've got to get it kind of turned around. Last nine games are going to be important for them. I mean, they're fighting for that number seven seed. But they could be the number seven seed, or they could slide to the number nine or even number 10 seed, depending on how the last nine games go. And so we don't want that to happen. You're 9 or 10, you got to win two games. You're 7, you get one win, you're in, and that game is at home. So, and again, I understand. I'm not trying to smoke up anybody's skirt about what the Hawks can do here, pardon me, in the postseason, but it would be nice I think it'd be fun, interesting. I think it'd be good for the team, especially a little bit of playoff experience for a guy like Zach is not a bad thing. A little playoff experience for Dyson Daniel as a Hawk is not a bad thing. So Dyson and Zach getting some playoff time, and they, you know, the more the better, you know, just to, you know, kind of set up next season, sure. They are, if they advance out of the play-in, I have no illusion that they're going to advance to the next round beyond that. I don't. I mean, I'm fully understand that, you know, you're going to face a Boston or a Cleveland or a who the hell knows, and your odds of winning that series are pretty slim. Even though you've done well against both Boston and Cleveland, it's the playoffs. I get it. But, again, you're just trying to set up next season when you're hopefully Jalen Johnson's got to be driving Jalen nuts. I mean, just nuts not to be able to play right now. So you get a healthy Jalen Johnson to go with this team, and you make a couple of moves into that bench, including – now, you're not going to have a great draft pick. You got the Lakers pick, so you're going to be in the late 20s, mid to late 20s. You get a big, and you go out and improve that bench. And so we'll see what the Hawks decide to do here. And hopefully next year they're, you know, a team that can possibly be on the positive side of things and make a run at not only the top six, but who knows, maybe the top four. I think they've got – look, this is a young ball club. They're a really young ball club. And so young ball clubs can grow. It's not zero sum. You know, so there's no reason for us to believe. Well, yeah, there is. You don't think Zachary Richer is going to be a better player next year? Dyson Daniels is only 22. I mean, Jalen Johnson's a young guy. This is a franchise that has had, you know, multiple top 10 picks over the last 5 years, and they finally need one of them to really crack. Zach, of course, number one overall. And, you know, top of my head here, Noel, top 10 picks the Hawks have had over the last 5 years, two of them are not even with a team.
Nope.
Right? I mean, well, three of them aren't even with a team. What am I thinking about? You got Zach as a number one, okay? And you've got Okongwu, who was the number six overall. But Luka, not with a team.
Nope.
Then you have
Cam Reddish,
not with the team, and DeAndre Hunter.
Just traded DeAndre Hunter.
So that's three top 10 picks. Kevin Herter. Well, Herter wasn't a top 10 pick.
Oh, well, true. He was like 17.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah. Herter, Collins, not even Jalen. Jalen was like in the
teens.
Yeah, in the teens. But those, you had five top 10 picks, and only two of them were with the team. But Luka's been traded twice already.
Twice already and cheated out of $100 million.
Yeah, right?
Ooh.
Yeah, out of the Supermax, right? Yeah. No, so, five top 10 picks, one of whom, boy, there was a brief period of time where Cam Reddish flashed, and you went, oh, this guy could be, and then it didn't happen. Then, of course, DeAndre flashed too against that. Remember the playoff series against the Heat where he was so good? And you went, oh, maybe DeAndre's going to happen, and it didn't happen.
And you took both of them, so you're hoping, like, you at least hit on one of them, right?
Right.
And you kind of sort of did with Hunter, but then, like, as soon as you saw the apex of that could be, it was like, but it's more worth it to move them. So it's like, ah.
And Okongwu, you know, for...
Big O.
You know, being a five-star and top five player in the country coming out of high school, and, you know, and then he goes to USC, and he's all Pac-12 and all that kind of stuff. He's good, but he's not... I don't mean to disparage him, but he's just sort of a serviceable center.
People were saying that when he was coming out the draft. Like, that draft, people were like, the draft fell off at three.
Right.
And we had the number six pick. So for him to be not quite a number six, he's pretty good.
Well, if they go out and get a good, you know, either in free agency or maybe in the draft, get a good big, strong big, who can rebound and eat space and play some defense – I'm good with the idea. I want somebody bigger than Clint. I want to get a 7-footer in there.
I agree, yeah.
You know, and if you get that kind of a guy to go with Okongwu, and they're the 1-2 punch at that position, and they rotate in and out, I'm fine with that position being that way and then letting the other positions kind of carry the load for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm not asking
disagree.
Okongwu to win you games.
I don't disagree, yeah. For Okongwu, for me, it's always been about matchups.
Rebounds.
Like whoever he matches up best with.
Play defense, rebound the ball.
Yep, pretty much.
Which is what he does, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what his game is. And so,
you've seen him grow offensively, but to your point, yeah, he's a defensive minded. Like that's what you want from him,
right? You want him to be a defensive guy, you know, and whatnot. So, anyway, that's neither here nor there. Just kind of expounding on the Hawks here. For the Braves, the bullpen, you know, Strider, hopefully, you know, Strider's back by the end of the month, because we'll see what they get. A.J. Smith-Shaw are going today, and then we'll see what they get with Grant Holmes and Chavez Ravine. But I'm kind of hoping Grant Holmes matriculates to the bullpen, because they really, could, I think, could use him out there. And they've got to settle down. I think Grant Holmes could actually be an important guy for them in the bullpen, as not only a spot starter, emergency starter, but also as a guy that they could pencil in as a bit of a long, you know, reliever, especially early in the year. Of course, they're not going to have a chance to do that, but early in the year to be able to eat some innings in case a starter has a rough outing. And so he could be a really important swing guy for you, because he could be a, you know, a one-inning guy, a multi-inning guy, a spot starter. He could really have a role on this team that could be functional for them, because that bullpen's got to kind of figure it out, because right now they haven't figured it out. Now, I'm not going to put everything on the bullpen. When you're not hitting with runners in scoring position, that falls in the offense too. And it's a shame that they're 0-3, and we all just want to win a game here, because the starting pitching has been really good out of the gate, and hopefully it continues today with A.J. Smith-Shawver. But, boy, you don't want to get swept four games in San Diego. Just not a good – I mean, just not a good feeling. I mean, it'd be – yeah, well, 2021, they got swept in four games. Yeah, but I think if I – now, without looking, I think when they got swept in those four games, they came home. They didn't go to Los Angeles to face the Dodgers in three, that's for sure. That'd be limping into Chavez Ravine. Don't do that. I mean, so they're trying to figure all this out. I get it. But Brian Snicker will tell you, he'll hit. He'll be
exactly
fine.
Exactly like that, too, John.
They'll be fine. Yeah, I mean, they'll come around. They'll come around. Yeah, I know. No, sir. They'll hit. They'll come around. Okay. All right. We'll get some Yankees bats in here. You know. Yeah. They'll be fine. Enjoy the games today. Good luck to the Tennessee Volunteers. Good luck to the Houston Cougars. Good luck to the Michigan State Spartans and the Auburn Tigers. So War Eagle, and let's see what happens with Auburn and Michigan State today at State Farm Arena. Hawks and Bucks tonight. See if the Hawks can get going. My thanks to Deshaun Tate at Tate's Take Hoops for all of his insight during the tournament, and to Miss Noelle White. And I will talk to you 7 to 10 tomorrow night, and we'll get back into this. Let's see what happens tomorrow. Got a feeling that we're going to be getting more news on the Falcons front fairly soon. Okay, that's all I can tell you. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Enjoy the tournament.